Please turn to the book of Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we want to base our lesson on the things that Solomon wrote in verse 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. This morning our lesson was based on the admonition given to us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14 to be diligent. And we looked at a number of admonitions that contain that expression, to be diligent. Although Solomon did not use those exact words in this verse, he instructed God's people to be diligent. Now Solomon was familiar with that word because in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, he said, keep thy heart with all diligence. But when Solomon says do something with all of your might, he's talking about being diligent. So our lesson is entitled, Solomon Instructed God's People to Be Diligent. Now when Solomon gave that particular admonition, or that word of instruction, he mentioned the common destiny of all people. He mentioned the grave. The grave is certainly not a pleasant subject, but we understand that it is a reality for everyone. Notice what Solomon wrote earlier in verse 5. For the living know that they shall die. Well, that's pretty plain and pretty much to the point, isn't it? That's something that all living people know. We know that we have a common destiny, and that is the grave. Earlier in Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 2, Solomon said there is a time to be born, there's also a time to die. That particular principle is also taught in the New Testament. Hebrews 9 and verse 27 says, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So over and over again, the Bible teaches that the grave is the common destiny of all people. But Solomon mentioned some additional things that we need to consider. He said that in the grave, where we're all headed, certain things will not be found. Now, I'm sure that there are others, but he did list several things that will not be found in the grave. There will be no work. There will be no device or planning. There will be no knowledge. And there will be no wisdom. Because none of those things we just listed exist in the grave, we're given that word of instruction, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. In the grave, it will be too late to give attention to these things that are very important. Therefore, we must be diligent in pursuing them while we can, while we have time and while we have opportunity. And if we will pursue these things with all of our might, that is, if we will be diligent in pursuing them, we can be prepared when our time comes to go to the grave. So Solomon presented a tremendous amount of wisdom in this one verse. This has always been one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I believe that if more people would live by the words that Solomon wrote in this verse, the world would be a much better place. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I don't know about you, but if I try to have some service performed and the person doesn't do a good job or he's very haphazard in what he's doing, I don't appreciate that. However, if I find someone who does a good job, who's very careful to what he does, and he gives quite a bit of attention to what he's doing, I will remember that. And whoever does that will have a repeat customer. I've always thought that that's the best type of business to have, repeat business. Well, that's a good motto to live by. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Let's consider these things that will not be in the grave that we are to pursue with all diligence while we have time and opportunity. Let's first talk about knowledge and wisdom. Quite often in the Bible, there's a contrast made between a wise person and a foolish person. And if we will consider that contrast that is made, I think it will help us to see why it's so important that we pursue wisdom and knowledge while we're able to. Notice how the book of Proverbs begins. Proverbs chapter 1. Let's read a few verses starting at verse 2. And Solomon began the book of Proverbs by showing that a wise man seeks after knowledge and after wisdom. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Notice that a wise individual seeks after knowledge and he seeks after wisdom. He understands the value of knowledge and wisdom, therefore he seeks after both of them. Well, what about a foolish person? Look at verse 7. The latter part of verse 7 says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Well, you don't have to be as wise as Solomon to know which man pleases the Lord. The Lord is pleased with one who seeks after knowledge and wisdom. He's not pleased with one who despises wisdom and instruction. Well, I think by making this contrast, we can see how important it is that we pursue knowledge and wisdom. And let's not forget how Jesus concluded his great Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 7, he gave a contrast of a wise individual and a foolish individual. The wise man hears what the Lord says and obeys. He's compared to one who builds his house on a rock, that is, on a solid foundation. But then Jesus talked about the foolish person. He hears, but he doesn't do. In other words, he doesn't obey. Jesus compared him to a person who builds his house on the sand, and it will not stand the storms of time. It's going to fall, and the fall will be great. So several times the Bible makes a contrast between a wise person and a foolish person. That contrast helps us understand how important it is that we pursue knowledge and wisdom. And by the way, when we're doing that, we're actually imitating our Savior. Luke 2 and verse 52 talks about the way that Jesus grew and developed. He increased, number one, in wisdom. So when we endeavor to grow in wisdom and understanding, we're being like our Lord. Well, knowledge and wisdom, as important as they are, do not exist in the grave. That being the case, we need to follow Solomon's instruction. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I remember many years ago when I was in school, I have to admit I was about 10 or in some cases 12 years older than most of the other students. I was 31 years old when I went back to school. I knew what I wanted to do. And I knew that it was costing me a lot of money to be able to go to school. And I know that that was an opportunity that a lot of people don't have. I wanted to take advantage of it. And it kind of concerned me when I would see some of the younger fellows not being serious about their studies. Now, I think that when I was their age, I would have been more like them. I admit that. But I thought, fellows, you have a great opportunity. Your parents are paying for you to go to school. It's costing me a lot of money. Take advantage of the opportunities given to you. Some of them did, some of them did not. Well, we'd like to think that with age comes wisdom. But there won't be any knowledge, there won't be any wisdom in the grave. That being the case, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We need to be diligent in pursuing knowledge and wisdom. Well, Solomon also mentioned work. Now, I know that work is a four-letter word, but it's not a bad four-letter word. Some people think that it is. As a matter of fact, if you look at the scriptures, you will see that from the very beginning, God intended for man to work. Let's look at Genesis chapter 2 and read verse 15. Genesis 2 and verse 15 says, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." Well, I've done a little bit of yard work in my time. It requires work. What mission did God give to Adam in that beautiful Garden of Eden? To dress it and to keep it. Now, things got worse a little bit later on. After Adam and Eve sinned by eating the forbidden fruit, they were punished. And let's notice something that God said to Adam in Genesis 3 and verse 19. He said, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." Notice that when Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, well, first off, everyone involved was punished. The serpent was punished. Adam was punished, Eve was punished, but God also made a great promise concerning the coming of his son. But the point we want to make is from the very beginning, God instructed man to work. Well, let's look at a few verses in the New Testament. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, let's read a few verses starting at verse 5. Now, these verses were originally written to Christians who happened to be servants or slaves. Instructions were given to those who were masters. Instructions were also given to those who were servants or slaves. Now, we want to make application to show that the Lord wants his people to be good workers. That's the practical lesson to learn from this. Ephesians 6, let's start at verse 5. "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as under Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free." Also, Colossians chapter 3. We'll begin at verse 22. Almost the same things are written. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And that sounds like Solomon could have written that, doesn't it? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So as we consider these verses written to Christian slaves in the first century, we make the application that Christians are to be good workers. Well, working and being a good worker requires great effort. But the Lord wants us to pursue our work while we can. But there won't be any work in the grave. There are a number of things that won't be in the grave. Work is one of them. And since work will not be in the grave, we need to follow Solomon's instruction to be diligent in pursuing it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Every once in a while, I'll speak to someone and I'm encouraged by what I hear. Not too long ago, I heard a person tell me, I'm grateful to be able to work. So many people consider work to be a curse, and that's a shame. But I actually heard a person say, I'm thankful to be able to work. Well, God has given us the ability to work, and he's also given us the instruction to work. That being the case, there won't be any work in the grave. Consequently, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. And then Solomon also mentioned device. Now the word device, as it is used by Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, refers to planning or the setting of goals. Something took place when Jesus was fulfilling his ministry that teaches us to be careful about the plans and the goals that we set. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 19 and read about an encounter between the Lord and a man that we identify as the rich young ruler. We've read about him many, many times because there's so many valuable lessons to learn from what happened on this occasion. But we will see that a young man had a great goal, but he wasn't willing to pay the price to achieve it. Consequently, he was an unfulfilled person. Matthew chapter 19, let's start at verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now, he had a worthwhile goal, didn't he? He was looking for eternal life. He came to the one who could tell him how to receive it. Mark tells us that he came running to the Lord. Mark also tells us that Jesus beheld him and loved him. And he said unto him, that is Jesus speaking to the rich young ruler, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Now we have to commend this young man to some extent. He understood that something was lacking in his life. He came to the one who could give him the information that he needed to hear. Well, he asked a question. Jesus answered it. Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But this young man had a worthy goal. He was looking for eternal life. But he was not willing to pay the price to achieve it. Consequently, he did not reach his goal. I believe that interaction between the Lord and this young man helps us to understand the importance of first having a worthy goal, but then paying the price to achieve it. He had a worthy goal, but he wasn't willing to pay the price to receive that very special reward. Well, the Lord wants us to pursue worthy spiritual goals and plans. He also wants us to pay the price to achieve them. Matthew 6 and verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, we have time and opportunity now to have plans and set goals, but there won't be any of that in the grave. And since there is no device or planning or setting of goals in the grave, it's imperative that we follow Solomon's instruction to be diligent. Now, he said it like this: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. If we will follow Solomon's instruction to be diligent, we can be prepared for the grave. And we can actually have confidence. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and let the Apostle Paul tell us about the confidence that he had. He knew where he was headed. He was about to be executed. He was in prison in Rome. He knew his life was about to end. He was headed to the grave, but he had great confidence. 2 Timothy 4, let's start at verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I believe that Paul lived by the philosophy that Solomon wrote down a long time ago. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. I believe that he lived by that philosophy before he became a Christian, because he was doing his best to do what he thought was right, and that is eradicate the Christian religion. He was zealous in trying to deal harshly with Christians, arresting them, abusing them, and he was present when Stephen was stoned to death. But after he became a Christian, he continued with that same philosophy, only this time it was going in the right direction. If there ever was a man who gave his all to the Christian religion, it was the Apostle Paul. I believe he lived by that philosophy: whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We're all headed to the grave. These things that are very important in this life just will not be in the grave. Therefore, it's important that we pursue them with all of our might. If we will do that, will be prepared for the grave. As I mentioned earlier, the grave is not a pleasant subject by any means. But that doesn't change the fact that that's where we're all headed. Thankfully, God in his mercy and great love for us showed us how to be prepared for it. He also gave us the promise of eternal life, where there won't be any more death. I don't know about you, but I look forward to going to heaven, because there won't be any more grave markers. There won't be any graves. Why? Because there will be no death. God, help us to think about these things as we go through this year. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might.